All rise.
In the case of Leo Wallace Cochrane, Leo Wallace Cochrane Jr. et al. As assignees of Banco Noroeste S.A. versus Nelson Tetsuo Sakaguchi. Case number BC267350. 130 counts of conversion whereby the bank funds were transferred to beneficiaries in a manner inconsistent with adverse to the rights of the bank as the owner of said fund. Civil remedies for criminal practices of theft, dealing in stolen property, wire fraud, money laundering, conspiracy, constructive trust, and accounting. I hereby sentence you, Nelson Tetsuo Sakaguchi, to 2 years imprisonment for your involvement in the defrauding of Banco Noroeste.
Welcome to 23419, a true crime podcast about advance fee fraud, popularly known as 419 in Nigeria. Over the next few weeks, we will tell the story of the biggest fraud case committed in Nigerian history and the rise of the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, the EFCC. This is a work of creative nonfiction. While the story is inspired by actual persons and events, certain characters, characterizations, incidents, locations, and dialogue were fictionalized or invented for purposes of dramatization. The events depicted took place between 1995 and 2005. My name is Chioma, and this is 23419, brought to you by Raconteur Productions. The year is 1995, and it all started with a fax.
Mr. Nelson Sakaguchi, we hope you are very well. Dr. Uke, a Nigerian customer of Banco Noroeste, your bank, has suggested that your bank might be interested in an investment possibility with the Ministry of Aviation and Central Bank of our country. The Nigerian government has moved the country's capital from Lagos to Abuja. The federal government has reiterated the need for a new airport to service the transport need of this fast growing capital. We assure you the rate of returns will be very, very attractive. We hope it will represent a unique and very lucrative investment opportunity for your bank. Tafida Williams, Director of Budget and Planning at the Nigerian Ministry of Aviation.
I had no prior business dealings with these people. I had not shown interest in any business in Africa, so I was very surprised to get that fax. Dr. Uke was a customer of the bank, and we had done business together, so I set up a meeting.
Nelson Tetsuo Sakaguchi is of Japanese descent, but his family moved to Brazil when he was a child. Following World War I, Japanese emigration to North America was curtailed in response to anti-Oriental sentiments. The Japanese government, in response to population pressure, economic crisis, natural and agricultural calamities, directed emigration towards South America. In 1960, 4% of the Brazilian population was of Japanese origin. Brazil is home to the largest Japanese population outside of Japan. As an immigrant, Sakaguchi's dream was to attain success, and he achieved it. He was a sophisticated banker with over 20 years' experience in the banking sector. At the time of the embezzlement, he was the director of the international banking and head of the Cayman Island branch of Banco Noroeste for over 10 years. Sakaguchi is in his 40s, he's plump with short dark brown hair, a square-shaped face and mesmerizing hazel eyes. He's about 5'4 and wears reading glasses. I also caught up with Leo Cochran Jr., one of the owners of Banco Norieste, about the setup of the branch.
In the 80s, Banco Noroeste already had about 100 branches operating throughout Brazil. We opened an overseas branch in one of the tax havens, the Grand Cayman Islands. Like most banks on the island, Banco Noroeste was a virtual bank. That means it did not exist physically on land in the Cayman Island. It was merely a site operated electronically via computers installed in Brazil at the head office, which was in São Paulo. However, although its physical facilities were located in São Paulo, that bank was governed by the laws of the Cayman Islands and not subject to the Central Bank of Brazil's regulations. It operated completely as an independent branch.
What was the organizational structure and internal control setup for the Cayman branch?
Nelson Sakaguchi was in charge of both management and internal control procedures of all business relating to the Cayman branch. He worked with two other staff, Otavio Apostolo Valero and Danilo Maininch. Valero was the superintendent of internal banking affairs, who was responsible for the accounting and administrative controls of the bank's activities, which was under the control of the international department. While Maininch was a foreign exchange advisor for the bank and was Valero's principal assistant, these two men reported to Sakaguchi. Only the international department employees and the PwC auditors had access to the business conducted by the branch. Now, the branch was subject to Cayman Island laws with regard to the bank's secrecy, so the most prudent course of action was to restrict access to as few people as possible.
The Cochran and Simonsen families were getting biannual audit reports from PricewaterhouseCoopers in Brazil, but they were unaware of the real dealings of the Cayman branch. Nelson Sakaguchi sent a fax back stating that he was interested in knowing more about the project. Sakaguchi was known to be a gambler, and so far it had brought him high returns. A meeting was set in London. For Sakaguchi, if he was convinced, this could potentially be one of his best deals.
I got to the agreed location for the meeting. Not long after settling in, three people joined me. One of them handed me a business card, introducing himself as Paulo Guma, the Nigerian CBN governor. I was impressed. I had heard about the exploits of the CBN governor in the business world. He's full-figured and dark with an oval-shaped face. He was bald, smiled a lot, and was very charming. The other two were introduced to me as Alhaji Rafindi Rashid, the aviation minister, and his wife, Mrs. Rashid. I remember I was trying to pronounce the wife's name, and she said I should call her Rossi Ford, which was easier to pronounce. We sat down, had drinks, and while we waited for dinner, they gave a convincing presentation.
Since Nigeria has moved to this new capital, an airport needs to be built urgently. What we are doing is a PPP, a public and private partnership. With just $35 million invested, you will get $39 million in profit by the time the airport is completed in 2 years. That is 111% profit.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to GRU Airport, Sao Paulo.
Sakaguchi resumed at the Banco Nordea State Head Office and started sending money as agreed. The first installment of $1.2 million was paid into an account in Crystal Bank of Africa on the 9th of July, 1995 to O.E. Odinigwe, who represented Stanton as a beneficiary. In August 1995, $2,840,000 was paid into Crown Merchant Bank London, with Africa Shelter as beneficiary. From August to December 1995, $10 million was paid to Finbads Nigeria Limited as beneficiary through Commercial Trust Bank New York and Hillcrest Merchant Bank Zurich. $14,250,000 was paid to Union Trust Building Society through London Trust Bank from July to December 1995.
The highest amount of money I could send at the time was $6 million. I didn't inform anyone, not Jaime, the MD, or the owners of the bank, but I worked with my staff, Valero and Meninchi.
The arrangement continued till the year ran out. Sakaguchi was waiting to collect his investment and profits, but the project was stalled.
They said they had construction problems that caused delays and needed more money to complete it. The more money I invest, the more money I make.
Total transfers to Evershine and USS Landmark from 1995 to 1997 was $76,707,500 in Lloyds Bank Zurich. $10,350,000 was paid to Pentagon Company Limited in Citibank Geneva. By the end of 1997, Sakaguchi had transferred $190,294,401.11 through SWIFT transfers to 21 various private and corporate accounts. The initial investment was $35 million. How did you end up sending so much more?
I didn't know why I couldn't stop. I just couldn't. I needed to get my money back. I had already put so much into it, so I held on to a sliver of hope.
Sakaguchi had always liked the game of poker. But not all gamblers know how to cut their losses.
I had reached out to them to find out about the delays, and I got this fax.
Dear Mr. Sakaguchi, we are writing to acknowledge the fact that you invested in carrying out the project for the federal government of Nigeria. The project has been concluded, and we are ready to pay all contractors, including the foreign ones. Since you have invested the amount of $180 million, the interest rate on your investment is now $199.8 million. To make disbursements faster, you have to pay fluctuation charges of $6.7 million. The earlier you pay, the earlier your money is disbursed. Signed, Paul Oguma, Governor of the CBN.
They said I had to grease some elbows to get things done. I had taken too many risks to allow a little amount of money stop me. I sent a response back. Dear Mr. Paul Oguma, after a very tough and strong argument with senior bankers, the bank has finally agreed to release the last sum of $4,200,000. This is with the condition that on the 8th of August, 1997, by wire or SWIFT, you will transfer the full amount of $379,682,015 only to the account at Chase Manhattan Bank, New York, former Chemical Bank, New York, Account number 544/7/07768 of Bank Noroeste S.A., Cayman Island Branch, in favor of Stanton Development Company.
Dear Mr. Sakaguchi, a new minister is at the helm of affairs. This new minister is the problem and not the people in charge of indigenization and completion certificate. You must wire the sum of $5 million if you want your money to be paid. The money must be paid into an Excel account. Mr. Sakaguchi, I know you have been patient, but if you want your money to be disbursed as soon as possible, you must make the payment fast. You see, delaying this payment might be dangerous on your part.
At that moment, I saw the writing on the wall. It became clear at that point that there were no funds coming in. I kept calling the mobile number I had of Paulo Guma, then I received the final letter.
I regret to inform you that I have already paid the sum of 250 million to the Bank of Norod, which was collected in July 1998.
The letter was signed by CBN Governor Paulo Guma and lawyer John Nemota and Eyose Lavana of the Brazilian Embassy in Lagos. There was no Bank of Norod anywhere in the world. At this point, Sakaguchi knew he was screwed and didn't know what to do. But with this on his mind, he went on a vacation.
I didn't know what to think. It was the only thing I could think of. I had put myself, my family, and my bank in serious trouble, so I just had to clear my head to figure it out.
While Sakaguchi was vacationing, Banco Santander, a Spanish bank, made a bid to take over Banco Noroeste, and for the first time, the owners of the bank were in the loop.
Eu falo com você depois. In August 1997, the shareholders of the bank, my family, the Cocranes, and the Simonsens, agreed to sell our controlling interest to Banco Santander Brasil, a subsidiary of Banco Santander Spain, for approximately $450 million. During the course of negotiating the sale, PwC, our auditors, discovered the misappropriation of $240 million. Here's the letter we received.
February 12th, 1998. Attention, Mr. Jaime Marques, Managing Director. Dear Sirs, in the course of the work we are conducting in the audit of Banco Noroeste S.A. and controlled company's financial statements relative to the year ended December 31st, 1997, we have identified significant differences between accounting balances and ancillary records of accounts in foreign currencies with correspondents and in the liability deposit account related to the branch abroad. We are making a specific survey and analysis regarding the origin of such differences, the recording of the transactions, and the supporting documents. As soon as we have all the elements allowing us to reach a conclusion about the balances of such accounts, we will report directly to you all aspects found and their possible repercussions on the financial statements of the bank and its controlled companies for the year ended December 31st, 1997. We remain at your service for further clarifications and remain faithfully yours. Washington Cavalcanti, Partner Price Waterhouse Independent Auditors.
This deal with Santander was a good one. They are from Spain and had spread to other countries. The auditors gave us statements every 6 months for 3 years and nothing was flagged. There was no cause for alarm. So we waited for Sakaguchi to come back from his holiday to clear up the documentation with the MD, Jaime Marques.
Can I have a word with you in my office, please? Hope you had a relaxing vacation. Please sit. We got the audited reports from PwC, and there's some discrepancies between the bank's accounts showing the funds that are held in the Cayman Islands branch and the Cayman Islands branch's account showing funds held for the bank. That's not a problem at all. I made fund transfers as an investment into a lucrative private-public partnership in Africa and have the supporting documents. That's great. Can I see them? I left the documents at home. I went through it just before I went on vacation. Let me just go grab it and be back with you in an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the JFK International Airport. Excuse me, sir? I think you dropped something. Are you Mr. Nelson Sakaguchi?
Yes, I am.
My name is Roger Spiel with the International Police, and you are under arrest. Oh.
As hard as it was to follow a borderless movement of cash from bank to bank, it was even harder to facilitate the criminal justice systems of two countries to fight a cross-border financial crime. So for years, nothing happened. Then, the two families secured the services of William L. Ritchie. All American with a Texan drawl, he was in his 50s, about 6'3", and he looked like a former quarterback. Ritchie was a former U.S. attorney who specialized in the investigation of fraud and theft and the recovery of stolen proceeds worldwide. He had served twice as a public prosecutor in the United States, in charge of investigating organized crime, narcotics, economic crime, and public corruption. Ritchie flew down to Brazil with a team of forensic accountants. Mr. Wayne Black, one of his chief investigators for many years, conducted investigation, and they began the process of recovering the funds and finding the criminals. Ritchie was able to put together a dream team. He had lawyers from all over the world. London, Kentucky, LA, New York, Geneva, Hong Kong, Singapore, Lagos. And his team found Banco Noriega's day money.
It was a very humbling time for us. We were shocked. In a million years, we would never have believed that Nelson Sakaguchi could defraud us. What was shocking was the amount of money involved, almost half of what we were worth, and we had no idea this was going on. This was happening for the past 3 years, and we didn't know. And just when he was supposed to give us answers, he ran away. Santander was about to pull out of the deal, but we convinced them, and our families would bear the loss. Paledo and Mainenchi were also arrested.
On the 2nd of March, 1998, PricewaterhouseCoopers sent a detailed report concluding that the difference between the bank's accounting records and the statements issued by the branch showed a discrepancy of $242,530,000 dispatched through the UK, Hong Kong, Switzerland, Nigeria, and the United States. This was the fourth biggest bank heist in history. In 2007, the guards of Dar es Salaam Bank went away with $282 million. Nick Leeson gambled away £827 million from Barron's Merchant Bank in 1995. And in 2003, $1 billion in cash was carted away from the Iraqi National Bank by Saddam Hussein's son, Qassi.
Your Honor, I'm William Ritchie for the plaintiffs. This is an action for compensatory damages in excess of $200 million, excluding costs, interest, and attorney fees. Plaintiffs are citizens of Brazil. Prior to the sale, mentioned hereafter, plaintiffs collectively were the controlling shareholders of Banco Noreste, a Brazilian bank. In or about 1997, plaintiffs agreed to negotiate the sale of the controlling interest of their bank to Banco Santander Brazil for approximately $450 million. After the misappropriation and embezzlement by the defendants of over $242 million was discovered in February 1998 during the sale negotiations, plaintiffs agreed to deduct from the sale value the verified amount of the misappropriation in order to salvage the sale of their controlling interest and to protect other shareholders of the bank. The converted money is known as identifiable, but its proceeds have not been completely identified. Wherefore, plaintiffs demand judgment imposing a constructive trust over all assets of the defendants, representing in whole or in part funds received directly or indirectly from the bank, an injunction enjoining them from transferring, encumbering, or disposing of any of their assets, and an accounting of all money stolen from the bank by the defendants, attorney fees, and other such relief the court deems just and proper.
The other defendant, Valero, was the superintendent of the International Banking Affairs, who was responsible for accounting and administrative controls. Sakaguchi and Valero had autonomy in carrying out transactions, obtaining funds, and furnishing dates from the accounts of the Cayman Island branch. Menente was a foreign exchange advisor who was the principal assistant to Valero. And it was just a matter of time before these men put two and two together, discovered the fraud, but instead of reporting it, they kept some of the money for themselves. About $20 million was stolen by Valero and Menente.
During the time I sent money to the Nigerian government, Valero and Menente found out, and the only way I could shut them up was convince them that it was for the good of the bank. And to show that I trusted them, I had to let them do some of the transactions for me. It was a very mutual relationship between us three. I never knew they were stealing as well.
Your Honor, Alda Sakaguchi, a resident of Brazil, was also instrumental in assisting her husband by concealing the original funds embezzlement from the bank through use of Florida banks. As of today, Alda Sakaguchi may be in Europe or in the United States assisting her husband in hiding the stolen funds. Also, Sakaguchi and his wife are associated with various addresses in South Florida, one of which is the Lloyds Bank in Miami. Significantly, Lloyds Bank PLC, New York, was a major recipient of embezzled funds via SWIFT transfers.
While on trial, Sakaguchi maintained that he transferred money to the supposed government officials. However, before the whole thing broke open, he had also sent about $60 million to his wife, Alda Sakaguchi, who fled Brazil when he was arrested. During the court proceedings, a large sum was discovered to be transferred to a Macumba priestess called Miss Maria Rodriguez. Macumba is considered to be a form of black magic, and Nelson Sakaguchi solicited her assistance to ensure that the deal went according to plan. Maria was in her 60s but looked 20 years younger, tall and dark, with strong cheekbones and a light gait.
I told the defendant, Nelson Sakaguchi, to bring 120,000 white doves, which he brought. After that, I asked him to bring another 120,000 black doves.
I must assume that after you bought the doves, there must have been a decline in the population of doves. Did you count the doves?
No, my lord. They were as many as the earth that needed them.
Did the defendant bring the 120,000 white and black doves?
He gave me the money to purchase them.
How much?
$20 million.
With the evidence gathered against him, there was enough to charge Nelson Sakaguchi with fraud. He was extradited to Switzerland from the U.S. and he faced another trial. He was detained for an initial 3 months period, after which he was sentenced to 2 years for fraud.
I lost everything, and I didn't get anything from it. All I did was for the advancement of the bank. I am innocent, but the world isn't looking at me that way.
This case was about to take another turn. William Ritchie and his team were able to get their hands on a number Sakaguchi kept calling. He had called this number 1,300 times, and this number was going to reveal who was on the other end of this fraud. He dialed 234-90-500-651. Thank you for joining us this week on 23419. If you enjoyed it, kindly share, review, and subscribe across all podcast platforms so you can get a notification once the next episode is released. This podcast was created, researched, and narrated by Chioma Onyenwe, co-written by Esther Kokori, sound designed by Hova Digital Sound, and co-produced by Ruth Dulac. Brought to you by Raconteur Productions. You can share your true life stories with us on Advance Fee Fraud at 23419podcast@gmail.com. Till next time. Bye.